Always a favorite, Tom Gardner with GKWW Law joins us. I know the machines are loud and then not loud today.
We had a jet coming in.
I don't know. Tom Gardner joins us this morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. How is your new year going?
It's been a very hectic new year.
You said you're working like 60 hours a day.
Yeah, it seems like 60 hours a day. We're working that many a week at least.
Yeah? Anything exciting going on?
Just a lot of cases. We have some trials coming up in different locations. We've got a number of clients that have contracts that we've had to review, employment issues. Seems like a really fast start to 2023.
Really? Well, that's good because it keeps you busy and keeps you out of trouble.
It
right?
definitely does.
Right?
Yes.
That's how I feel when I get busy.
And,
keeps
you know,
me
when
off
the dust
street.
Settles, it might be 2024.
It could be.
It does make, when you're busier, it does make time go by. But to me, you having to have a lot of irons in the fire seems like normal because the law progresses so slow. Like, you know, for instance, this Idaho guy, he's not even going to go to trial, this Idaho, the killer guy. Mm-hmm. He's not even, there's no trial or anything until at least the fall. Like, plus he waived his right to a speedy trial.
But it seems like lightning speed to me to have the trial in the fall.
Really?
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Well, the preparation.
Yeah.
You know, sitting back waiting for it to happen is way different than putting it together, the mechanics of it, because it's time-consuming.
I don't know. It just takes forever.
It does take forever. It's even
it's
frustrating for everybody involved sometimes with how long cases take.
Right.
But that's not long. What I find, we have a case that has been around for 12 years.
Really?
Yes.
What is it? What's the case?
It's a case that involves the bonding of some construction on properties, and we represent the municipality. And it's gone up to the appellate court, and then there was an appeal to the Supreme Court. It came back down. There are all sorts of motions. There are all sorts of motions filed in this case.
Wow.
And that's what happens in some of these cases. There are so many different legal issues and multiple parties involved and multiple courts involved that things drag out. Now, that's a real extreme case.
That is a real extreme case.
But most cases do take at least a couple years.
I have in Walworth County, I actually have the record for the second longest case in the county right now. It's not going on right now. It's been done for a long time, but it took, because of different factors. And then one of the police officers that was a witness was involved in a shooting. And so they can't, until that stuff gets resolved, they can't testify in other cases or something. And so there was that delay and everything. And so, I just saw my prosecutor friend. Actually, Amy was with me at a fundraiser, and I said, "Do I still hold the record for the second longest?" And she said, "Yes." But that took it the second longest amount of time in Walworth County to go through the court system, and it was nobody's fault. I mean, it was just like you said; it's just stuff that happens. But yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. I'm right.
You don't want to be number one, do you?
No, because I'd have to start all over.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like this one's going to get extended. So, but it was frustrating because you want closure, you know, the victims or the people involved. Or, I mean, 12 years, how much money in attorney fees is that for a company or, like you said, the municipality and all that? I mean, that's just an expense you don't normally put in your budget.
Yes.
I mean, I guess after 12 years you do, but... It's just not, like, that's just so hard.
Yeah.
To manage.
It can be very hard to manage.
Yeah. Yes. And I'm sure you guys are sick of it.
But that is an outlier case.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
a really,
that's unusual.
It's a really interesting case, so I'm not necessarily sick of it. But
well, yeah.
It's still a long time.
Yeah. That's, 12 years. That's a long time.
Well, and how often do you get diverted to something else, and then you got to start back over and get caught back up? I couldn't imagine.
You certainly can't be a lawyer and have attention deficit, because when you are paying attention to one thing, you have to pay attention to it, and then you have to be able to
switch gears.
I know, but you have to switch gears, but you have to switch gears in a manageable way. Like, you can't just be fluttering from one thing to another. It even though you are, it still has to be, like, regimented somehow.
You got to get one done before you can go to the other one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually, you're right, and that's a skill that develops over time.
Uh-huh.
So as a young lawyer, you'll frequently feel overwhelmed and that you're kind of like tachycardic.
Right? Uh-huh.
You're just going to one place to another place, and your heart's not beating all the way as you're paying attention to each item.
That's funny. Yeah.
But then over time, you get used to it.
Right.
And then you can handle multiple matters much better.
So when lawyers retire after being so busy like that, how do they settle down, I wonder?
They have a horrible time.
I bet.
Yes.
We got the same problem in law enforcement.
Well, that's true. I can see that.
You go from call to call to call to call. Coming from Geneva Township to Lake Geneva, I could not keep up with my paperwork. I was coming into work early, trying to get caught up from the day before or staying late. So, because some things you can't leave said. You know, it's brutal, and you get to that used to that fast-paced lifestyle. In retirement, I'm here to tell you, it's difficult.
Mm-hmm.
You have to self-regiment yourself. Mm-hmm. I set up a schedule after about 3 weeks of walking around blindly going, I don't know what to do. You know, and it was like, I'm going to have coffee until 8:30, and then I'm going to, you know, walk the dog, whatever. But I had to plan out my day every day to get stuff done. And it was amazing what I got done.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it drove you crazy not to have anything to do.
But how do you even turn it off? I don't know how you turn it off. Like you said, you recently took a vacation and you still worked. Like, you don't even turn it off on vacation.
Not really, because coming back is too hard. You mm-hmm. have too much work to do. In my position, it's just with all the different lawyers reporting to mm-hmm. me, it's just, it's worse than not taking a vacation. So I'd rather take a vacation, keep current on things, and then come back.
Right.
Than take a vacation, not think of anything, and then come back to the deluge.
Right.
Be overwhelmed.
We're talking with Tom Gardner with Gardner Koch, Weisberg, and Rona. They're a law firm here in Lake Geneva as well as Chicago. I want you to know that I, too, have been paying attention. And I saw recently about the Obama Library in Chicago, and there's been some controversy about where it should go and where they are currently working a bit to start construction on that. But yet it's still in the court process, and there was a ruling recently. So can you give us an update on that? I mean, is it still, it shouldn't be built where it's being built right now. It needs to be moved. And you guys are the law firm that is representing the people who want it moved, correct?
Right. Okay. We have another couple lawyers working on this case as well. Richard Epstein, who's a professor, is on the case. Michael Rackless, who's a very talented Chicago lawyer. This case has been going on for a while.
Yeah.
And it's gone up from the federal district court to the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals. That's the federal appellate court. Then there were petitions to go before the U.S. Supreme Court. It came back down. It was in the district court. There was an order that was entered reaching a final decision in the district court that was against us, that was kind of an agreed order, basically, to bring things to a conclusion there so that they could then be appealed to the appellate court. So now we're in the federal appellate court on issues relating to that case.
And it's an environmental issue, right?
Yeah, that's the main issue here, because there are two locations that are debated in part in this case.
Okay.
The Obama Presidential Center is currently planned, and construction and some demolition and destruction of trees, etc., has occurred in Jackson Park, so adjacent to the Museum of Science and Industry in that general area. Our position was that the agencies had a duty to consider alternative sites. We thought that the site in Washington Park, which actually was the site they discussed about having the 2016 Olympics at.
Oh, okay.
That location would be a better location for public transportation, less disruption to the environment, to trees, to wildlife habitats for birds and things like that. Mm-hmm. As it turns out, Jackson Park is right on the migration path for birds heading south.
Okay.
So one of the issues is that they did not have to get an environmental impact statement. So an extensive environmental review of the impact of the location.
Sure.
And one of the great hesitations and concerns of people at University of Chicago, the people that live in that area, the faculty members, et cetera, who live near Jackson Park, is that the park, you know, Chicago parks are sacrosanct, basically. Mm-hmm. You don't build things in them. That's
right.
Why the waterfront's so great.
Right.
That you're now building a building in the park and eating up acreage in the park. So a lot of the faculty members and Hyde Park neighborhood people are against this construction. We represent a group called Protect Our Parks.
Okay.
And so we'll see what happens in the appellate court.
So the appellate court, what decision are they making? Whether or not, I mean, ultimately, obviously, the decision that's going to get made is whether or not construction should stop and restart in the other park or elsewhere, whatever.
Yeah.
But ultimately, what's this appellate court trying to decide?
The decision is going to be whether there had to be an environmental review.
Okay.
Whether too much authority was delegated to the group that is the foundation that is building the presidential center. So our argument is that the Chicago City Council basically said, whatever you want, President Obama Foundation, you can do what you want. And we thought that was an improper delegation of their legislative authority.
Right.
So that's one of the issues that's before the court, whether there has to be an environmental impact study. There's some other issues about delegation of power and the approval process that went through.
Interesting.
But in the meantime, they're tearing it up.
They're still
digging.
They're
knocking trees down. They're digging holes.
They're doing, yes. They haven't started construction of the foundation, to my knowledge. I haven't been past there recently. But all the preparations, they began some months ago.
Well, if you're dropping trees, they're not coming back anytime soon.
Yeah, and that's one of the arguments we have on the tree issue is that they're replacing. They say, oh, we're going to replace the trees. Well, they're going to replace the trees with little saplings.
Right.
And the trees that are there or were there are mature trees that have been there 100 years.
Well, and if that's part of the migrational path, those birds are used to using that area.
Right.
Yeah, that's not going to fulfill their needs.
Yeah.
So who cares?
But
they're just going to do it anyways.
I thought that these folks were, like, all about the environment and green energy and and
they want you to be
being careful with our ozone layer and our all of these other things, and yet they think it's okay just like, but for this particular building it was okay to go in and destroy environmental and not get the proper testing. And so
I think the mindset is those rules are for you and the common folk, not for them.
Okay, well,
that's just my opinion.
Interesting. Another rule that we talked about before was the Safety Act in Illinois, and it was the one that was supposed to, like, the big uproar was that the main portion of it that was scary was that it eliminated cash bail. So when you talk about eliminating cash bail, explain that, Tom, if you would, because I think people don't understand that what that means is that people just get out for free. Like, it's not that, they just get out for free when they shouldn't. I mean, is that basically what happens?
Yeah, there's exceptions under the act for extreme cases.
Of course.
But you're right. The act is designed to allow people to get out basically on their signature on the majority of cases. Now, the impetus for that is that somebody with money can post cash bail and somebody without money cannot post cash bail, and they could have the same crimes. Over the years, the belief was that posting cash bail assured people showing up to court, defendants showing up to court. But does it have a disparate impact on poor people? The answer is yes. Mm-hmm. So that was what was the harm that was trying to be improved upon. And the question, I think, is more how far did they go? Did they go too far or not? They went pretty far.
They went very far.
Well, when you see the list of offenses that you have signature bond for, they went out of the, they went way too far. Kidnapping, you know, unintentional homicide, and you're signing a piece of paper and going home.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous. But, you know, as you're saying that, I'm thinking, I can guarantee people show up to court if you leave them in jail until their court date, where they belong.
Huh. Well, yeah, that's interesting.
It seems that simple.
However, the Illinois Supreme Court did pause that provision after a lower court ruled it unconstitutional. So that is not happening yet. Now, I'm
sure
that it's got to go back through more court battles or whatever, but right now they have not been allowed to implement that no cash bail. Thank goodness, because I know that we're here in Wisconsin, but I think that people need to understand the effect that that can have on, you know, the communities around, and we are so close
we're
to the border.
15 miles from Illinois?
Right. I mean,
it's kinda close.
I don't even think we're 15 miles from Illinois. So it's just like people need to understand the repercussions, because the other thing is that if one place does it, other places, I mean, well, first of all, other places already have, right? Isn't New York a cashless bail? Didn't they?
I'm not certain, and I haven't looked at the studies on this. It's going to be very interesting to look at studies of different states. Do people still show up?
Right.
If there's no cash bail? You know, some of the pressure normally comes from families,
mm-hmm.
right? Because mom or dad post the bond, and then the kid says, well, I better show up or mom and dad are going to lose their house.
Right.
So that is an extra incentive for people to show up when their parents are on the hook for the money. Now, I have to say, when I was a state's attorney in Cook County, I never had a case where someone fled to a foreign country. I knew of some cases like mm-hmm. that, but none of my cases had that happen. I had people that fled when the police were chasing them and didn't show up for a year later.
Right.
One in particular on a solicitation to commit murder case.
Oh.
But I never had the situation where somebody just took off. And the place to take off to is a foreign country.
Of course.
So I'm sure that happens. And I do remember one case where a judge had allowed a Polish citizen to be out on a minimal bond. And he thought return to Poland would be a good idea. And that's what he did. That got some press at the time.
Don't they take that? Can they take their passport?
They can
if they're
take
gonna
the
let
passport.
You out.
You definitely can take the passport. The rules all say you can't leave the state.
Right.
They don't say you can't leave the country. They say you can't even leave the state without permission.
Right.
Yeah, we take driver's license all the time. It doesn't stop people from driving.
Oh, no.
I you know, taking a passport, I think that's just a crock. There's a way around everything.
Well,
you know,
you can, and these people, I think the concern for citizens is less about whether or not these people flee and more about the fact that you're letting them out there to
correct.
Recommit crimes. And that's where the statistics are going to show.
I think a statistic we need to look at. I understand what you're saying. You know, statistically, there are more people showing up to court after this no bond is through. But what I look at is the states that have gone to this no cash bail, what is their crime rate crime rate done? I'm sure it's gone up. Why not, you know, commit the crime if you're not getting locked up for it? And I think there's probably a huge change there, and that's what I'm more concerned mm-hmm. about than them showing up to court. That doesn't do anything for me.
It's recommitting.
It's what are they doing when they're out there.
Well, it's right. And like Daryl Brooks.
Yeah.
Never should have been out of jail.
No.
For
attempting
Milwaukee
to kill his
County.
Wife with his car.
Yeah, the girlfriend. And that was in Milwaukee.
Correct.
So none of those, had he not been, you know, a part of that theory, lower bail. It's not fair. It's not fair. See, Tom, here's the thing, though. I have a solution to all this, but it does not provide you with a lot of job security. Don't do the crime. I mean,
it's a great idea.
Actually, it provides neither one of you with job security. But
yeah.
Yeah. Just here's a thought. Don't do it. Like, most of us don't know how any of this works because we haven't ever done it. Like, we don't.
Right. But beyond that, don't give them the incentive to do more crime by not punishing for the crime they got caught doing.
Well, that's true.
And we're doing that by allowing this cashless bail.
That's true.
Or this really low bail.
What do you think is going to be the outcome here? Do you think they're going to take that out for Illinois? Or because remember, we also talked about the fact that all the other counties in Illinois were against this, except for Lake County.
And Chicago, right? Cook County?
Right. Or correct. Cook County.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not Lake County. Cook County.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that it is likely that Safety Act will be upheld. That's my evaluation based on the Supreme Court composition.
Mm-hmm.
There could be some changes to it, but I think generally it will be upheld. And then the question will be exactly what Tom's saying. If there are reports that people are out and then they commit rape, they commit murder, whatever, then there's going to be press on that. And then the pendulum will start heading back the other way.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like it never heads only partially directly.
Right.
So it will go way back the other way.
The shame of it is that wake casted by the pendulum of victims. Mm-hmm. Of these people that are getting out without being punished.
Yeah.
And that's where you kind of look at, like, recidivism studies, and those aren't too good
mm-hmm.
for people that have been in prison, for that mm-hmm. matter. There's a high recidivist rate.
Right.
So, part of the theory of this is that, if you take somebody who hasn't been proven guilty yet and you take them and keep them in jail, then their life is pretty well ruined anyway. They're going to lose their job, their family, etc. So, that's a factor on one side. So it'll be interesting to see how all of this plays out. And you can see in Illinois, when you look at issues like convictions, they've made it much harder for employers to consider convictions. Public entities can consider them, but not private employers as much. So the push there has been to say, well, if somebody served their time, should they still be able to get a job? Because pretty much a disqualifier walking in the door.
Well, it depends on the job.
Yeah, it's a valid point.
It depends on the job.
Yeah, absolutely.
If I'm looking at, if I own a warehouse and I need somebody, to run a forklift and things like that, and this person knows how to run a forklift and you're right, has done his time, is done. Okay, well, that's a consideration. But, like, let's just... For example, here at the radio station, if I hire you for a position where you have to drive the vehicle and you have a DWI, I can't do that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay?
Yeah.
So, sure. I mean, it depends on the position. Like, you can't, but you're right, to hogtie employers and not give them protections that they need in order to properly keep their businesses safe and run their businesses. Like, I don't know. It's just, I don't think the victims... I think you kind of probably feel this way, too. The victims don't get enough attention sometimes.
Never.
And the outcome for them, and you're right, like the wake that some of this some of this crime leaves.
The unfortunate thing is in any criminal act, the person that is not made whole is the victim.
Mm-hmm.
Property loss, stuff like that can all be replaced, but the emotional and physical damage to that victim will never be fixed. Never.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the ones that we're saying we're trying to protect, but they're not.
Right.
They're not protected. They're not taken care of. And I don't know what the answer is. I don't mean to insinuate that I do, but the shame of it is they're the ones that always suffer,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to. And I'm 100% with somebody that's done their time. They come out.
Right.
They should have an opportunity to have a normal life.
Right.
Get a job, raise a family, do, the American dream and all that. But there's a point where you can't just let everybody out assuming, well, they're sorry. A lot of these guys are not sorry. That's why they keep going back in.
And they keep going back in. And
right.
I hope that those numbers, the repeat offender, end up affecting whether or not that you know, this cashless bail thing is a thing in the whole country. I mean, it's not just Illinois that's dealing with this.
Oh, no, other states are dealing with it. I think you always see different states do different things.
Of course.
In the criminal area in particular. And sometimes it's because there's press on one big case and one case in one state, and that state says, oh, we're going to change this, we're going to change that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you then get dramatic results on one side or the other. So I remember, like, there were the three strikes type laws that came in, and you'd read about, I think California initially put that in,
mm-hmm.
which is a little unusual because that's viewed as a liberal jurisdiction now,
right.
More conservative when they did that. But then, like, the third offense would be somebody shoplifted $10 worth of candy or something,
right.
And now they're looking at 10 years in jail. So that went way too far that direction.
Right.
You know, it's kind of...
feast or famine.
Well, it's unfortunate that a lot of people get wrapped up in these big decisions, you know. Again, I don't know the answer, but...
I do. Don't commit a crime.
Right. Well, when we talk about the cashless bail, I have no doubt people have been arrested for stuff they didn't do. No doubt whatsoever. We're all human. We make mistakes. I get it. But there is way more people in jail or in prison that are guilty. And that's why they're there. And I think that's what we need to look at.
Right.
Is it going to fit for everybody? No. There's a lot of unfortunate things happen.
But it's also not going to fit for every state. It's just like,
right.
It's just like abortion. It's just like a lot of other laws. Every state should have the choices to do what their citizens want them to do.
Yes.
They were elected by those people. And so, you know, I think it's just going to vary from state to state.
It's actually, I agree with you because it allows experimentation in a way, right? Mm-hmm. So one state can look at another state and say, oh, okay, like you mentioned New York, if they have cashless bail, you can look at that and say, oh, did this work? Did this not work?
Right.
And, you know, and I see situations where people are incarcerated and then they are found not guilty and their life is ruined.
Right.
Or you have situations where people have limited skill levels to begin with. And so when they get out of prison or out of jail, they don't have opportunity. Right now, there's got 3% unemployment, right?
Right?
So it's an unusual time in our country's history.
Right.
But most of the time, if somebody gets out of prison, their skill set is drug dealing, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And so they,
and they go to prison to learn it better, find out what they did wrong and fix it. Yeah.
So, but I mean, so the alternative of driving a skid steer at a factory. They don't have that experience.
Right.
They don't have a CDL license to drive a truck. And now they think, well, I'm out. What do I do?
Right.
Well, and that's something that should be happening anyways. When guys are getting close to the end of their sentence, they should be working with them on how do I return back to society and giving them a skill set.
Well, and that's where, you know, again, we keep spending in this country, we keep spending money on trying to solve issues as a reactive instead of a proactive community. And, you know, it's, you know, training, like you said, training and helping them, spending more money on, number one, mental health in this country, because underlying...
Absolutely.
That is an underlying cause for so much of this. And then, you know, again, being proactive, like you said, you know, training them on something during and especially right before... they leave prison.
Right.
And again, and it's just like I said the same thing. You know, we spend all this money, and this is the second time I brought it up, sorry, but we spend all this money on trying to figure out abortion. Well, how about we spend this money on resources to keep people from getting themselves into the situation in the first place so they don't have to make that choice and suffer for the rest of their lives?
Correct.
Mentally, physically, whatever. It's the same thing. You know, proactively, we need to get in to these areas and try to keep them from committing the crimes in the first place. Okay, let's start there. But I know, again, that's not really job security for you guys. So, but I mean, I'm just...
Plenty of people out there making bad decisions.
There's a lot of things that we could do that would prevent us from having to make these decisions in the first place. But we're not doing any of that.
Yeah, but people do what people do. I think there's a way to kind of get control of it a little bit better. You know, like maybe a work release program. There's plenty of big factories in the cities, mm-hmm. Milwaukee, you know, that are dying for help. Mm-hmm. Well, start a program at the prisons where you're training these people and they can come to work for you when they get mm-hmm. out. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. Send them on their way. But at least you're doing something.
Right. But you go back to, I understand that, you know, this is probably going to go through, especially in Chicago, especially in Cook County. But what about the unintended consequences for the rest of the state that are not necessarily for this?
Well, that's going to be interesting.
Uh-huh.
Can a municipal judge overrule that? Can they say, well, no, we're finding a bail for you?
No. If the Supreme Court makes its decision, then they're going to have to follow the statute.
Right.
And you might find one judge or another judge say, this exception I'm going to apply further down or something like that. Maybe there'll be some tweaking of it.
There'll be games to play.
And then that will get appealed. Right.
Right.
There'll be somebody that might take a stand on something. But I think that's my prognosis. I think it will actually be upheld.
Interesting. Tom, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Happy New Year.
Same to you.
It's a couple weeks late. Yes,
yeah,
yes.
It was good to see you.
Yes, lots of things going on. Keep me posted on the Obama Library thing. So when will that happen? When does that decision, is it another few months now? Or?
Oh, yeah. There's a brief that is due that just got delayed a little bit. So it's months away from a decision.
Right. That's a lot of trees.
It's moving so quickly. Not. Anyway, Tom Gardner from GKWW Law. Check them out at gkwwlaw.com. Gardner, Koch, Weisberg, and Rona. They're right here in Lake Geneva. Google, look it up. Call them if you need anything. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
We'll be right back.
No, we won't. We're out of here.
Yeah, we're out of here.
We're out of here.
Heidi's going to kick us out.
Yep.
Literally kick us out.
She's standing there waiting to get in.
She is standing. Coming up.
Start the music.
More music right here on Lake 96.1.